Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above today. Thursday, where do the weeks go, right? The days just seem to slip on by, and here we are at Thursday already, which means today we'll be doing some card readings and or a chart if you want me to take a look at a chart. Hopefully, we can do that. As well, today we'll be taking a look at the moon in Capricorn. Yesterday afternoon, the void of the moon was broken by its move into the sign ruled by Saturn. Things take a bit of a serious turn for the next couple of days. We are more capable of banking goals, reaching goals. We are more business oriented. It's a call for us to join with our inner authority and to really live our lives authentically. That's kind of the opportunity that we have every time we have Capricorn energy. We'll go through what that means. Today is the exact Mercury opposing Mars, and I want to dig into that just a little bit deeper. And as well today, the Pleiadian Earth energy is for healing, which was Ish in the Mayan calendar. Healing energy is about the jaguar, the priest, or the person who is connected to source or God. And in the Pleiadian calendar, that is equatable to healers, right? So guess what happened yesterday? I got this in the mail. Yay. It took a while. She sent me this back August 6th, I think it was. So it took well over a month for me to get, but I was really happy to get it. And some of the pictures in here are just like striking. Gorgeous, right? That's a January one. Let's look at, if we look at August, remember this is an 18 month calendar. So we have 18 months beginning from January of 2021 and going through June of 2022. So the cover looks very similar, right? But it is a brand new calendar. So thankfully I got that. So if you ordered yours after the visit that we had last week today, with Pia and Colin, don't fear, yours will be on its way as well. Hopefully things will start to speed up. All right. So good morning to everybody out there. Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel and Monique Alexander, Andy Girl, Mimi, hello. And Courtney Menard, hello. Asa, hello there. I didn't even check in with you this morning, so I'm glad to see you out there. And Andy said, I would love to have a card pulled today if you have time. Absolutely, Andy. So Asa, can you start making a list for me? And I'm going to have everybody else wait to do that until I tell you it's time for that, so we don't overwhelm Asa right from the beginning this morning. So let's dig in, shall we, and talk about what is happening in the stars above, particularly with the moon now in Capricorn. So I think we've all kind of had our fill of Capricorn energy, right? We are not done with it by any stretch of the imagination, but every time the moon moves through Capricorn, of course, it is eventually going to come into contact with Pallas Athena, with Jupiter, with Saturn, and with Pluto, and it is going to stimulate some of that destruction, reconstruction energy that we've been hanging with now for, gosh, nigh on 2 years, and especially all of 2019, and then this year, right, with the conjunction of Saturn and Pluto, and then Jupiter and Pluto, and we're aiming right at another Jupiter-Pluto conjunction here next month. So we have more to deconstruct and more to reconstruct, right? That is kind of the name of the game. So what we can do with the moon in Capricorn is sort of prepare ourselves for making sure that our foundations are sturdy and sustainable, right? I think what happens now in the outer world is anything that doesn't have sustainability, anything that doesn't make sense, that doesn't align with our stated values will crash and burn. So that happens on the collective as well as it happens in our personal lives. So not to fear when things go wrong or when things look like they're upside down. It's just a call for you to see more clearly whether what you were presented with was sustainable or not. So again, that happens on the bigger world stage, but it also happens in our personal lives. Now, when we look at the transits for the day, there's really only one transit today, so we don't have to deal with those conjunctions yet. Today, we're dealing with a trine to Uranus in Taurus. So we have very practical, down-to-earth energy going back and forth between our liberator Uranus and our moon in Capricorn. So we might be suddenly inspired or be struck with sudden inspiration about something, about how to do something, about a problem, maybe a solution appearing before us that we have not entertained before, right? So be ready for surprises, be ready for the unexpected. As this is a trine, it's likely not something that's going to be as upsetting as other types of connections with Uranus. So this might bring us practical solutions to longstanding problems. Maybe it just light bulb comes on, turns on, you see it, you go, oh, I could have had a V8, right? I like that saying, I could have had a V8. That's the solution to that problem that's been dogging me for years or months or weeks. So solutions are right at hand, and it might be surprising, right? It might come when you least expect it through a medium of which you didn't expect, right? So be aware, be open for that kind of experience today. Now, as far as what Capricorn rules, remember the moon is about our emotions and how we feel about what's happening around us, how we respond or do we react, right? Keep that in mind as we talk now about what are the types of things that we can experience in Capricorn energy. Well, first off, Capricorn runs time, rules time, has a collaboration with time. And time here is the type of time that we think of as the past, even though there literally is no real past, present. There's only the present, right? There's not even a future yet. But in our experience of the linearity of life, this rules the sense of time in the past. And as such, then rules things that also have an impact on the future. So our maturity in getting into old age, retirement, all of the things that we need to have taken care of now so that we can be okay in the future. So we have sort of a blending of the past and the present and the future all together here in this particular day. Speaking of time, this morning, I don't know where the time went. It just seemed to fly by. And before I knew it, I looked at my watch and I went, 7:56. Oh my gosh, I better get my show running. It was too funny because I thought I still had 10 or 15 minutes. Not to be. Also in Capricorn, the moon rules responsibility. And all of that then goes to self-discipline, how we maintain our own standards, right? How we maintain our own response to whatever it is that is showing up in our world, how we become an adult, right? An adult. Are we being adult in our way of being or are we not? And I'm not saying that being an adult is necessarily a good thing either, but it does speak to the maturity principle here. Am I responding to what is happening around me in my relationships, in my work, with integrity, with discipline, and with sort of that feeling of I'm mature in this response that I have to XYZ. Competency and keeping commitments and your public image and your reputation, very important with the moon, also very important in Capricorn. But what you want to watch out for here with the moon in Capricorn is that you're not putting forward a fake front or a fake face, if you will, that you're not trying to be something you're not, because likely with the planet Saturn ruling Capricorn, you're going to be called out on it, right? If you're trying to be something you're not, people are going to notice that it's not authentic. You're going to feel out of sorts. They're going to notice that and not react to you in the way that you want to. So the public image and reputation is always based on your truth in being who you are, living your truth, right? Living your ideals, living from your ethical, moral compass, right? Yours, not someone else's, not even society's, your own. All right. Goals and ambitions, also a part of Capricorn. So if you are in the process of getting ready to do something, build something, create something, having a plan works best. And when the moon is in Capricorn, it's a great time to lay out the goals, the ambitions, set up the steps that you need to use to get to where you want to go. and then to apply work toward that energy. Capricorn is a sign that is not afraid of hard work. So hard work in this, but being able to work hard or work at all is really based on, are you doing what you love? Are you doing what's correct for you? Are you passionate about what you're doing, right? There are always the things that we have to do that are sort of the drudgery things, like cleaning the house, vacuuming the floor, cleaning the bathroom, all that kind of stuff, right? That have to go to the grocery store, have to do the things, right? Those things are the routine things of life, also covered by an earth sign, but more Virgo-like. Capricorn here, hard work is about the steps to success, right? About getting to where you want to go. And doing your due diligence, if you will, spending the time it takes to learn the skill, to master the skill, to demonstrate your mastery outward in the world. So Capricorn helps us build the momentum to success. And literally, it rules success. So our accomplishments and getting recognized for our accomplishments, right? Setting the achieving the goals that you set forth for yourself, and being able to say, job well done, right? And earning a bump in your social status, maybe even as people really recognize and value the contribution that you've made to the world or to life in general or to your family, your community, your country, based on the work that you've done, right? Hard work. It is also a very management-oriented sign. Capricorn likes to be the boss. It doesn't like to be the boss because it doesn't want to take orders from others. It likes to be the boss because it feels responsible, right? So we have respect. The person who is working their Capricorn energy correctly commands respect, right? They delegate tasks where appropriate. They don't jump in and take over processes. They allow the other people around them to be supported. They recognize and value the others in their lives. So good management is more than just being in charge. It's about being in command of everything that's going on while not necessarily having to do all the work yourself, letting everybody support and be shining in their own capacity. So when we have the moon in Capricorn, it calls that up. Are you trying to take over the whole thing and do everything? Or is there a way for you to release that and sort of manage the process while letting other people shine in their respective area? This is a sign that loves rules and protocols, and the measure of the goal is, you know, how, if you can measure the progress of what it is that you're doing or what it is that you were saying that you were going to do, keeping your word, right? Also a part of the Capricorn experience. It is also the sign of authority and authority figures. Primarily, it is the sign that we would say rules the natural 10th house. So the house of profession and career and father and authority figures. But it's also how you call up your own authority, right? So how do you claim and live from your own authority in life? Father's information here, but also the energy of the authority figures that we look up to, right? Who do we look up to in our lives? And then as well, your own reputation as a leader or as a boss, as a manager, and how the world or your employees or your friends or your colleagues look at you in terms of, are you keeping your word? Are you walking your talk? Are you living from those high standards? Are you putting out that everybody else needs to live by high standards, but while you yourself are doing, you know, nothing like what it is that you expect from other people. And that too, being called out during this period of time. So we do have some things to watch out for, because Capricorn, being ruled by Saturn, does have a tendency to be a little stern, can be more rigid, can be more serious, right? Don't be so serious. And you're going to see today when we go through our wisdom stories about the gate 46, where it is the gate that the sun is sitting at right now, that is a gate of delight in the gift, right? We're delight, not serious, right? But sometime today and tomorrow, likely this idea of you're being too serious might come up. So don't be a fuddy-duddy, right? Don't hold everybody back. Don't be the wet washcloth in the whole group of people. Pessimism, also part of this experience here, being inflexible. Also interesting for the times we live in with so much Capricorn energy, the more negative side of Capricorn is being afraid of the new, right? Being afraid to try the new, going in a new direction. So there's that as well. In the body, Capricorn rules the bones, the joints, all of the connective tissues. So issues around arthritis or rheumatism come pop up with Capricorn energy, where maybe in your life you've become too stern or too rigid. That might be a source, an underlying source, a spiritual source more of that particular condition. The gallbladder is also a part of Capricorn experience and gallstones, all that, you know, that pertains to the gallbladder. The knees, right? Those things that ache when you've been running up and down stairs too much. And skin, right? Skin is also ruled by Capricorn, ruled by Saturn. And in that, again, is that concept of integrity, right? Integrity coming from the skin, the root word of which is integument, integument, integrity, being in your skin, being authentic, being true to you. Okay, so how's that for everybody this morning? Asa, was that you? Good morning. Oh my gosh. All right, YouTube. So let's see. Andy girl, Saturn is 1 degree in Capricorn in my fifth house. So interesting, because that's a combo of things, right? Because we're in moon in Capricorn, which means right now the moon is moving across your natal Saturn. You may feel more lethargic today. You may feel more serious today even, or melancholic. And I just would encourage you to understand that melancholy, or that more lower end of what we might think of as the spectrum of mood, is a time when you are really incubating, if you will, perhaps the next creative energy that will burst out of you after this particular transit is over, perhaps. Now, also Saturn in Capricorn is very empowered because he's in the sign he rules. And that is something for you to pay attention to as well. In the fifth house, remember yesterday we talked about the fifth house was the house of play and joy and playfulness, creativity, and childlike enthusiasm, being a grown-up child, that kind of thing. And with Saturn in Capricorn on your fifth house, likely you're very serious and maybe have made less time in your life for play and creativity. So I'm going to encourage you to take this moment to look at your life and see where you can incorporate more of that. Because just because those things are there doesn't mean that you can't have fun, that you can't go on trips and vacations and play and create. It's more that you don't have to worry that you're going to be irresponsible in the doing of that, Andy, because you always have that responsibility quotient sitting there. So go ahead, have fun and play. And Asa, I think what you're doing there, you're taking people's names for readings. Okay, J-Lo, any will do. Okay, Sylvester, good morning to you. Sending love and positive vibes to all. I love it when you do that. Courtney, my natal sun in Cancer is in the 10th house. How would that be interpreted with a Saturn Capricorn? So your natal sun is in Cancer. So you are naturally protective. You're naturally sort of that mothering energy on the 10th house. How can you use that nurturing mothering energy in a way that supports society or in some way empowers others? Now, Saturn here might find that you have a lot of duties or responsibilities to family as well. We're going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute, because you have to really take a look, Courtney, at are those responsibilities true or not? Right? Are you operating out of a fear that you're going to fail in your responsibilities to your family? Now, if you certainly have young children, and I think you've just moved, so you're setting up a new household, all of that stuff puts some responsibility on your shoulder, but it doesn't mean that you have to bear the full brunt of everything out there. So there you have it, right? Pauline, hello. Good morning to you. Adrienne, good morning. And J-Lo says, my Pluto is square to the natal moon in the fifth. Also, universe put me at the beach today. Yes, that's a great thing. The universe put you at the beach to have some fun, to absorb some negative ions, to maybe balance out some of those highly charged particles that are, you know, we sometimes store in our bodies. So a beach is always a great place to balance those charges that build up. It's the, you know, the positive charges in the atmosphere build up. That's what lightning is all about. When there's, you know, more water moving over or more water vapor, there are more negatively charged ions. They come together and boom, we have lightning and we have thunder. And today we're supposed to have lightning and thunder here, which is kind of odd. We hardly ever get that. Anyway, good morning to Adrienne, if I didn't say that already. And let's go over to what I wanted to talk about in terms of Mars and Mercury today. So yesterday we talked about the opposition, and an opposition, 180 degree an opposition. So they're in exact opposing positions. So we have Mercury in the final degrees of Libra, and we have Mars in the final degrees of Aries. Aries and Libra form an axis that we call the love and war axis. And it's always the masculine, feminine, but they're pulling in different directions. But this is an energy then today that brings up two important planets into those positions. One about the mind, right? The mind and our communication. So how we speak to one another, and what are we thinking about? And are those thoughts and those words coming out through Martian types of ways, which might be in impulsivity, might be in stabbing people in the back with your words, and or anger or upset, agitation, irritation, all of these kinds of things. They're pulling in opposite directions. Inside, we may interpret that as nervousness or nervous energy. We may also feel pressure within us to do something, to say something, and it may not be appropriate for us to do so. So again, here's where human design comes to the rescue. The rescue here would be if you have an open throat. An open throat, meaning the throat center in your chart, would be white. If you have an open throat, you are not designed to speak without an invitation to do so. So watching your words, right? Allowing that just to sit with you until somebody calls you out and says, I want to know what you think. I want to know what your opinion is. Then you can be the source of words, but I would also advise then that the words be very much with love, right? And with respect, and honing in sort of on the energy of peace through your words. Otherwise, what you say may come out as, you know, those verbal sort of gunslinging types of words. So we may feel the pressure then to react versus responding to whatever impulse there is in the world around us. So we want to be very careful. That might mean you're driving along, someone cuts you off, you get irritated, and instead of, you know, calming down the situation, you feed into it. And next thing you know, that person slams their brakes on you, jam up their back end. And now you have an accident. Remember, accidents, metal, cuts, burns, all of that possible when we nod off or when we get fed into the irritation, the conflict by these particular types of transits. So be very aware that you stay ahead of that. You stay out of that. You do some exercise. You do some meditation. You do some prayer work. You go out in nature. You do things that are self-soothing. You can't see it, but I have candles burning in here today because I think I needed to burn off the energy of the old. I just had that feeling this morning. So let's see if I do that. Can you see the candle on my dresser? Yes, there you go. And it happens to be a cinnamon apple. Perfect for fall, right? Cinnamon and apple, or pumpkin and apple, not cinnamon and apple. And anyway, doing what you can to change up the energy in the room, in your interaction with someone. And sometimes that might mean just walking away, right? Is this a battle that you really need to engage in? Or is this one that is a losing battle, right? Sometimes you just don't need to get drawn into those verbal sparring events between people. So doing what you can to stay away. Now, I wanted to look at where these planets were through your human design, because that gives us a little bit more access to information. And when we look at Mercury, Mercury is sitting at the gate 50. If you tuned in last evening to Angel Heart Radio, you heard me talk about the spleen and all of the different gates on the spleen that represent, that have a counter representation of fear. So they have a paralysis energy to each one of them. And the paralysis comes about from fear, the fear of not being good enough, of not knowing enough, of authority, of all kinds of different things. So the gate 50 is one of the gates of the spleen. And the fear here is about being, taking on too much responsibility, not being responsible enough, or fearing that you are going to fail in being responsible to the people in your life. So Courtney, when you asked that question, it made me think about that particular placement, right? That the gate 50 often fears that they are going to fail somehow in their responsibility to their family, to their friends, to their community, to their workplace. And so they overwork themselves trying to keep in line with what they feel is their responsibility. Now, you know, sometimes that might be true. Maybe they do have a responsibility to these people in their life. Other times it might be that they really don't. So we have to look at what are we really responsible for? And that always reminds me of Byron Katie's words. Is it my business, God's business, or your business, right? So if it isn't your business, stay out of it today. Stay out of it. Now, the basis of the gate 50 where Mercury is sitting is really about values. It falls onto the feminine side of the tribal circuitry. And I know that might be new words to some of you out there. Let me see if I can show a chart because I did do one this morning. I just have to remember where I put it. Might be in downloads. There. Okay. We'll use this one. Nope, I don't want to use that one. Hold on just a moment while I get my just now. Do I have a just now chart this morning? Yes, today's the 24th. There it is. Okay. Now let me share my screen. And then I'll share that other graphic with you guys too, but not right this second. I think it might be too confusing. Here we go. So here's our just now chart. So in human design, of course, we have 9 energy centers and they get highlighted by planets in transit. So when we look at the sun, which is our first symbol here, it is at the gate 46, which is sitting on the identity center right here. And then we see the earth at the gate 25. We're going to read these soul stories here in a little bit. That gate 25 is leading over here to the ego center. Well, here is the gate 50. This is the spleen. It is the center for time, intuition, health. It is it's where our immune system lives, right? Our immune response. So the lymphatic system, the T cells, and any of the white lymphocytes and so forth that come to the rescue when perhaps we get a cut or we get sick, right? Our body mounts this immune response without our conscious awareness, because this is an awareness center, and that center is always aware of what it is that is going to keep you safe, that is going to keep you in survival and not cause your death. So consequently, some of these gates in their turn of to try to keep you alive can sometimes then turn into fear, right? So we have fear here with Mercury. Now this gate, what I was saying here, is the representation of the feminine tribal energy, while over here is the masculine tribal energy. So it sets up the field for which the divine masculine and the divine feminine would work best. And what we see here with the gate 50 is that it is up to the divine feminine to relate the values of the tribe, to hold up the laws of the tribe, right? To name the laws of the tribe. It is the divine feminine who says the kids need food, right? We have to pay the electric bill. We have to teach our children. We have to make sure that they are clothed, that they are supported, that they're educated, and that they have doctors to go to and healthcare. So it is the divine feminine's role to set the values by which a tribe, a family, a community, or a nation would live by. Kind of upside down from the way that we have somehow allowed the patriarchy or the masculine to take on that role. The actual role of the masculine over here on the other side, which is not involved in the spleen energies, is about the survival of the tribe through procreation, right? Making children, sex, right? Sex leading to children. And then the protection of the tribe, right? The masculine built for protection, for providing that what it is that the divine feminine has decided is what will support the tribe. So they're the hunters. They're often the ones that go in our original way of thinking, you know, it was the masculine that went off to work and the women or the feminine raised the children, educated the children, you know, got involved in the schools and in the kids' lives. So those were the more traditional roles, and it's even the signature of that kind of living is in our human design. Not to say that women can't go to work or that's not about that, but it's the feminine energy that really relates to the core values of how a tribe will work and the laws that are going to support that. And then the education of the children to make sure they are all aware of how the society works, of how the community works, of what the rules are, and the educating of the children so that they can then go out into the world and be whoever it is that they're here to be. So it's not about gender roles as much as it is about the bigger energy behind this. And the gate 50 then is where the values of the tribe begin. This is where the laws are laid down at, if you, as it were, right? The rules of the family or the rules of the nation, etc. And then it leads over here to the gate 27, which is the nurturing aspect. This is where mothering energy meets up with the actual role that is committed by the divine feminine in the actual feeding, clothing, teaching of the kids. So it's really profound energy. And I think it's sometimes lost on us that this is actually something that is there in our design as humans to support our children, to grow them up, right? And then to let them go on their own, to then wash, rinse, and repeat, right? They grow up their children and they do the same thing, teach, feed, and clothe. So this energy can sometimes get corrupted. So the fear here in this energy is that somehow I'm not going to do right by my family, or I'm not going to be able to handle the laying down of the laws, or, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm going to overprotect, I'm going to smother, I'm going to get overly involved in other people's lives, because if I don't, they're going to fail and it's going to be all my fault, right? So there's a lot of guilt that comes up in this particular gate. Now Mercury is sitting at that gate, triggering this for us. In the Gene Keys, Richard Rudd calls this the shadow of corruption. And corruption, not like, you know, corrupt politicians or corrupt bankers or anything like that, but corruption in that there's a misreading of the code, right? That we've misread the code and that the code has an error in it. In our own bodies, when our DNA, when our cells divide, there's a copy of the DNA that goes from one cell to the other. It is the job of RNA to read the code and to come in and fix the code if something got corrupted in the code, right? So when in the splitting, at times there's something, it might be from a toxin in the environment or aging processes, sometimes those codes get corrupted and RNA fixes the code. Well, sometimes in our own lives, we get corrupted, right? We misread the messages, right? We misread the messages. And the fear then here is all about, or the shadow energy is about keeping that corrupted message dividing and being moved on to our progeny instead of the correct code. Now, the way this might play out, for example, is I told you that a lot of the energies that we have been experiencing this year are relatable to the time of the Dark Ages, where literally just before the Dark Ages was when the Code of Hammurabi was brought down, the King Hammurabi, who developed these laws for social order, and they were based on equality. So the laws were equally enacted across all of the levels of society. That was the intention of the law. Now, if you look at the spirit of that law, the spirit of those rules, those traditions that the divine feminine would be responsible for bringing down, those very laws and rules got corrupted with the overtaking of the divine feminine by the divine masculine. And so then we have this corrupted information now that is being led down the line. So we're in the process of course correcting that. Right, we're bringing back this idea of the correct message, our correct values being transcribed correctly so that we are all living in an equal society. I hope that makes sense. That's sort of that bigger picture that these planets that they symbolize in the bigger picture. So, okay, any questions about that? Asa, if people are screaming at me about that, let me know. Okay, so no other questions about that right now, but certainly if you have questions, you can bring that up. And then not to be forgetting all about Mars, Mars is actually sitting in the sacral center at the gate three. And the gate three is an energy that is bringing chaos to the picture, right? Chaos while we're in the process of changing, while we're in the process of mutation. There's always chaos chaos is the best word I guess I can come up with. In the beginning. And in fact, in the I Ching, that particular gate is called trouble in the beginning, right? There's always when we launch a new project, when we're trying to get something changed, there's always that time in the very beginning that's uncertain, that we're putting forth new energy and then nobody likes it. And we have to, try it on for size and live with it a bit before we can actually, embrace it. So we are in that time period right now, Mars bringing up the energy of the third gate of transmutation. But we're at the chaos, right? We're at the chaotic beginning of that stage. So of course, right? Everything new that's happening, our new reality has not been greeted with open arms by everybody for sure. And we are in the process of working through how it is that we are going to adapt to a new reality, right? What are we going to take away from all the things that have happened during 2020 as we move forward now into 2021, and there's still more yet to happen, right? So Mars setting that pace for us to synthesize these changes, right? To synthesize values and perhaps new values into humanity, right? Into our beingness. Okay. I'm going to go look for comments, see if there's any questions. Puffing Pixie, is it still possible to get a card or are there too many already? I do not know. Asa, will you start to let me know who the card, great minds think alike. I think you just did that, didn't you? yep, you did. Awesome. All right. I'm not going to do that many readings today. I won't be able to. So I probably will do the top five and that will be it. Sylvester, so my feminine is 9 on my natal chart and my masculine is 2. Now my spleen center is defined. So what does that make me in the bigger picture? So my feminine is 9. I'm not sure what you mean by this, Sylvester. It might be a good idea. I don't know. Have you sent me your birth information so that you have a human design chart? It might be a good idea for us to actually look at the chart because I'm not sure what you mean. Is it the gate 9? So the gate 9 is not on the spleen, nor is the gate 2. Now my spleen center is defined. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't. You might have to put out some more information there so I can do that. Alrighty. So last thing before we get into card readings today is for healing energy. This is where we define our boundaries and our limits, and they may be new boundaries. We may have new limits that we are exploring, but we have to come to a sustainable foundation in order for us to do the next step, which is moving. Tomorrow is moving energy. So right now we're building that foundation. So today is a day for practical stability, for providing stability, for creating and building that stable foundation. And then we have the earth energy today, which is healing energy, Ish in the Mayan calendar. It is all about healing energy and being a healer and how we are relatively easily engaged in healing when we choose to work with ourselves first. And it's also a caution that if you are a healer, if you are going out into the world to say that you are a healer, to make sure that you are clean as a healer yourself first, right? That you have done your work to clear your field so that you're not projecting onto others what's going on with you. That's a different thing than using your own intuition, your own body wisdom to sense what's going on with someone else. All right. So that's our day today. Tomorrow we'll move into faster moving energy. So today we may find ourselves sort of at a plateau and not necessarily moving ahead, but that is correct for us in the process of building a stronger foundation. Hope that makes sense. Okay, so now let's move that out of my way. And Asa, let's prepare. Card readings, Andy Girl, my pick. All right, Miss Andy Girl. I feel like galactic heritage for you. Galactic Heritage. This is the deck by Lissa Royal Holt, right? And it is out of this world. Funny. Out of this world. Okay, so and it's a huge deck. Look at all those cards. Almost just perfect for my hand. If they were any bigger, they would be a problem for me. But luckily, they're a little bit smaller card themselves, so I can fit them in my palm. And wow, this one wants to come out for sure. It is the card 107, and it's called True Compassion. And it is an Orion Light card from the future. Orion Light from the future. True Compassion. And it is one of the last cards of the deck. I think there's 108, so it is second to the last card. And let's see, it says, true compassion is a deep recognition that all consciousness is part of a greater whole. Whatever one aspect experiences is experienced by this whole. Thus, when you see pain and suffering in the world, know that pain exists within you too. When you find pain within you and embrace it fully, the whole feels your love and compassion. At first, this may hurt because it's natural to try to shield yourself from the pain of another. But eventually, the love you share will melt away the pain. The Orion Light asks you not to fear pain and to use it as a gateway to true compassion. Here's the commentary on that. The last four cards of the deck access the Orion Light, which connects to a very evolved era in Orion history. Within the Orion system, where polarity was at its deepest, the concept of oneness or unity was something incomprehensible. But once the Orions made their transformation with help from an awakened master, they realized that every person in their reality, even those who were previously feared or despised, is actually just an aspect of themselves. As the species consciousness transformed, true compassion was born. The ability to see every other being in creation as an aspect of the one and to care for and love others as you would the creator himself. With a new awareness, separation could no longer be maintained, hearts opened, and a rapid transformation of the Orion people began. Eventually, the same will happen on Earth. If you pulled this card, the meaning depends on your circumstances. It may be a subtle message to develop your compassion more, not from a philosophical perspective, but from a transformational one, in which your perspective changes from separation to oneness. Conversely, the card may be acknowledging your progress. If so, congratulations. Also remember that compassion is necessary toward the self. Often we are the most hurtful to ourselves, judging or punishing ourselves for perceived flaws. In order to transcend polarity and awakening, this self-judgment must stop. Trust yourself with the same kindness you would any other living being in creation. If you truly embrace the concept of unity, then you cannot omit yourself from the equation. So true. All right, Andy girl, that was for you. And let's see who was next after that. Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel. Let's see. You usually ask for a wisdom of the oracle card, but today you're going to get a card from the dog pack. The dog pack, right? The dogs, since you're going to be surrounded by dogs here shortly. Your three plus Rita's. It's going to be a fun household. All right. So the dog pack, this is for you, Debbie. And I haven't used these cards in a bit, so I got to loosen them up. And Dalmatian, that's a big dog. Dalmatian, look at that face. And underneath Dalmatian, it says forgiveness, forgiveness. And let's see here, Dalmatian. This is a time of mental stimulation. Being physically active will help you relieve stress and move forward. Because you are so intelligent and have such a good memory, you remember everything, especially times when you were wronged. Being very sensitive, you have a tendency to take things personally. This may bring up abandonment issues you have not yet chosen to deal with. You may even feel abandoned by God. Forgiving the person or the act doesn't mean you condone it or even need to have a relationship with them. You have an opportunity to forgive and to be free. Forgiveness is always for you. Dalmatian's advice, it is now time to choose love over fear. Lovely. Dalmatian. Now, what did I do with that deck? There we go. All right. And let's see. After Debbie was Ursula, you pick, but want a solar year card. A solar year card. What is going to give us that best advice for you for the year? I keep avoiding this, but this is what it's telling me. And I'm going to draw you a faces card, a wisdom face card. I didn't want to have to take that out. Just my human resistance to doing what spirit's telling me. Now, these cards are harder to hold and to mix up. So this is for Ursula's solar return, I'm assuming, for her year ahead. What is the wisdom in the card she needs to have? And the card that you get is Insight, number 43. All right, look at that. Is that an owl on his forehead or a hawk? Looks like a hawk, some bird of prey, some wisdom bird there. And Insight, so that is the gate 43 or the gene key 43. So let's find the story here for 43. Now, remember, this is based on human design and the gene key. So there's the level of shadow and the gift and the highest expression or siddhi. The shadow is deafness. The gift is insight. And the siddhi is epiphany. Every human being is born to be a rebel in the sense of filling a space in the world that cannot be duplicated by another. Here's the wisdom story for you, Ursula. I worried a lot as a kid. My mind spun with speculations about the bad things that could happen and how I could avoid them. My more sturdy brothers teased me for being such an emotional wimp. At school, I was called the brain. I felt different and weird and wanted to so badly to fit in, to feel secure and be successful. Ironically, my ability to anticipate problems made me a great programmer. No one could find and fix bugs like I could. Suddenly, it was cool to be a nerd. As a young man, I had wealth and independence. Thrilled, I could finally compete with my brothers. I dominated the conversation during family visits, talking endlessly about my successes at work. Deaf to their contributions, I showed off my latest gadgets, gave unasked for technological advice, and blurted out inappropriate comments about how big my abs were after hiring a personal trainer. I was too busy winning their approval to notice what a pain I was or how deeply I envied their relationships. Then I'd go home and pull out my feel-good technology. I'd play video games, watch TV, and surf multiple dating sites at the same time. Obsessed with freeing up my time to be more productive, I learned to operate my stereo, TV, computer, car, solar panels, and sauna, all from my phone. But instead of freeing up my time, technology swallowed it whole. Eek. That's when I had a breakthrough insight. Nothing I did, used, or accumulated would ever make me feel more comfortable in my own skin or like I truly belonged in this world. In one fell swoop, I canceled all of my subscriptions and threw my TV and gadgets in the closet, and I got quiet, really quiet. All I did was listen, at first to the noise in my own head, then to the sounds of my home, then to the birds in my backyard. Slowly, I brought back technology, first the music, then the podcasts, touching ones with stories about real people who suffered and prevailed. That's when I received the insight that would change the course of my life. I'd create a radio show for and in honor of the people who felt like me. I'd call it The Outcast. That was just the beginning. My gift to you. I am here to invite out the rebel in you, the poet, the lover, the mad scientist, the revolutionary. There is something only you can do, something your entire life has prepared you for. It is time to take a risk, to shake up a system. You may make waves. That's okay. Whatever you do, stop listening to the status quo. This is not about venting or blaming. This is about being creative and being open to love. You don't have to know where exactly you're headed or why in order to trust your inner voice. As you courageously forge a new pathway, Don't be surprised if your timing gets better and breakthrough insights come your way. Dare to be who you are, and you will ignite the creative rebel in others wherever you go. So some questions for contemplation, Ursula, and maybe for others as well, since we're all in this together. What are you worried most about these days? Do you obsess over your worries or drown them out with busyness, outer noise, or your own talking? Do you ever feel misunderstood or like a misfit? How might your need to self-protect be deafening you to others? What might you do differently if you weren't afraid of being different? Have you ever had a deep insight or epiphany? What was it? Track your worry throughout the day and watch it shape shift. Wow. That's a great solar card, I think. All right, Ursula, there you go. And let's see, who was after Ursula? 1, 2, 3, she was 3. J-Lo, you pick. All right, J-Lo. Actually, I may get to all of those. Let's do that. J-Lo. I'm getting spirit animal for you, Miss J-Lo. Which isn't the usual thing I feel for you, but today it's animals. Let's see. Ah, wolf spirit. I can see this for you. Turn knowledge into wisdom. It is card number 67, which is a 13 and a 4. Wolf spirit, turn knowledge into wisdom. And here we go. And it was right side up, by the way. So the oracle's message, wolf spirit leads you deep into the enchanted forest that holds the secrets to your life. Can you sense her beckoning you to follow, asking you to take all you have learned and all you are learning and make it yours? Can you integrate it into all your body, mind, and spirit? Whatever lessons you learned along the way, do not leave them unexamined. Be loyal to your dreams, to your soul, and to turning knowledge into wisdom and experience, and turning that into magic. You are the one you have been waiting for. Be still and know that the sound of your heart beats in harmony with the whole world. The appearance of wolf spirit is an auspicious omen that says you are truly in alignment with your destiny. So if you've been asking that question, that's a pretty powerful answer to it, J-Lo. All right, Pauline wants a galactic card. Oh, I totally missed Amanda. I apologize. So Amanda J, let's get yours, a galactic. So Pauline, and I will do yours right after Amanda J. Sorry about that. You're not invisible, Amanda, I promise. Okay, so a galactic card, ooh, for Amanda, jumped right out at you, and it is the pulse of life from the galactic core. It's a parallel, maybe a parallel universe to us, card number 2. Issues of duality, polarity, let's see what that means for you. Pulse of life. Oops. I don't think we've had this card before either. All right, so the galactic core, like a great galactic clock, the galaxy's core calibrates the rhythm of the evolution of consciousness through its wave emissions. Ancient civilizations such as the Maya were fully connected to it and were able to plot a galactic calendar using this wisdom. All life, including you, can feel this pulse from the core, looking out into the night sky, or look out into the night sky and connect with the dark spot in the Milky Way. Let yourself breathe in this energy, resetting you to the natural pulse of the universe. You cannot rush evolution. This is the card of trust. There you go. Let go and allow the universe to work through you. Commentary. While creation spans an infinite number of galaxies and states of consciousness, this card represents the energy of our home galaxy. At the center of any galaxy, the core acts like a metronome, almost like a heartbeat, that guides the pace of evolution of all the consciousness in that particular galaxy. The Maya and other ancient civilizations understood this great role played by the galactic core and were able to interpret this pulse through their advanced calendric system that described the process of evolution from separation back into unity. Everyone is attuned to this metronome, but only some can feel it. In the year 2012, our solar system crossed over the galactic disk, beginning a new 13,000-year cycle of evolution. We are now able to access a whole new energy that facilitates integration and evolution during this new cycle. Some have also called this the rising of the cosmic feminine. If this card has come up in your reading, then it is either acknowledging your innate connection to this galactic pulse, or it is encouraging you to begin developing it. When you do this, the cosmic plan unfolds within you, and it becomes so much easier to connect with the higher self and flow with the natural current of your life instead of trying to manipulate events with the ego personality. Connecting with this energy brings a tremendous sense of peace and stillness and truly facilitates your journey back home. Wow. That's our galactic center, right? And this one will be for Pauline, who wanted a galactic card as well. These are kind of cool cards. Deep, definitely. So for you, Pauline, it is 17, pushing the envelope, which is from Lyra, and in the present. Lyran, pushing the envelope, card number 17. And there we go. A Lyran trait that humans share is the need to push the envelope, to force ourselves to go beyond limitations. This is what drove them and us to always grow more beyond the laws of physics, beyond the current technology, and beyond physical endurance. This can be a good quality when a breakthrough is desperately needed. However, that same trait can become obsessive and cause us to never rest and always push ourselves to exhaustion. This most likely has been a karmic pattern of yours for many lifetimes. Now it is time to let it go. Your self-care is more important than pushing the envelope. This theme refers to the human and Lyran tendency to become single-minded and sometimes ego-driven, pushing ourselves beyond our limits in order to accomplish a goal. While this can at times be an admirable quality, it can also severely hamper our evolution and keep us stuck in actions driven by ego. When we are stuck in these ego-driven tendencies, it becomes impossible to connect with our higher nature and evolve beyond the limitations of the ego. On the other hand, this card may be giving you a message to push yourself harder when you are afraid, thus acting as encouragement for you. Do you tend to give up your goals too easily? If so, this card may be encouraging you to focus, trust, and keep going. It may also be giving you a message that you can learn and grow quite a bit by going beyond your perceived limitations. Only by looking at the surrounding cards, meaning the people whose cards we've already read, only by looking at the surrounding cards and looking honestly within yourself can you ascertain the meaning of this enigmatic card and apply it to your life. This was a major lesson for the Lyrans during this phase of their development, when to push harder and when to let go. Ultimately, when faced with species evolution, it is a delicate balance. Eventually, however, consciousness transcendence happens at the point of surrender. This is a lesson Earth humans are currently facing on the personal and planetary levels. Yes, indeed we are. All right, so after Pauline, Puffing Pixie, Angels. Emily, right? Is that who you are? Emily K? Puffing Pixie? Let's see here. And then Jackie, I will do you next, and then I will be done. Ooh, ooh, ooh. There's like a pulse moving through these cards. This ought to be really interesting. I was thinking, is it going to be the same cards we've pulled over and over again? But it is one we've pulled before. Compassion. Compassion. The angel of compassion. All right, let's see what that means for you. Okay. So, compassion, here's your message, Puffing Pixie. Your angels are wrapping a light of compassion around you at this time and guiding you to let go of conflict or the need to prove your point. The more you resist and fight, the unhappier and more drained you will be. Pointing out mistakes or mishaps or concentrating on the negative traits or actions of others will only hold you back. Don't let the unjust actions of others block your experience of joy and freedom. Take time to review where in your life you may be feeling held back or even consumed by frustration and anger, and ask your angels to shine their light upon you and the situation. Here's your extended message. Changing how you see yourself will help change how others see you. Angels are surrounding you at this time and encouraging you to see yourself through their loving and holy eyes. All of the ups and downs you have faced, all of the insecurities you have overcome, and all of the setbacks you have moved beyond are testament to your resilience and strength. So have compassion and respect for yourself. Angel wisdom is encouraging you to love and treat yourself the way you would love to be loved and treated by others. Then your own actions will be mirrored back to you by those around you. So ask your angel guide to help you be more compassionate towards yourself now. I think that's a great card for everybody. And Jackie, Piccola, Dragon. Let's get those dragons out and see what they have to say today. Okay, so we have this for Jackie. Dark Blue Galactic Dragon helps you listen to the voice of the universe, ignite the codes of your master blueprint, access cosmic wisdom, and enter higher service. The Dark Blue Galactic Dragon. Gorgeous, isn't he? Or she? Let's see what this is all about. Dark Blue Galactic Dragon. I think that's a new one for us too. I don't believe I've seen that one before. And... ooh, is that a ninth dimension dragon? Dark Blue Galactic Dragon is a ninth dimensional dragon on page 104. This is going to be some high wisdom for us here. So, about this dragon. These dragons shimmer with golden sparkles of cosmic wisdom, for they harness the light of the stars, planets, and constellations. When we are ready, they touch us with this light, enabling us to embody the illumined energy and wisdom they contain. While many of us are now able to attune to the ninth dimension, it is still an awesome light, filled with joy, love, and wisdom beyond our current comprehension. Dark Blue Galactic Dragons can send bursts of this cosmic searchlight through us to ignite the hidden codes of our master blueprint, the seventh dimensional light of our soul, so that we can listen to the voice of the universe. Remember, our soul must be at least seventh dimensional for us to receive permission to incarnate on Earth. So you're already there. Guidance, your soul journey has taken you to the stars and beyond. The Dark Blue Galactic Dragons now invite you to communicate with the Masters of the Universe, the Intergalactic Council, where you can contribute your energy for the smooth ascension of the planet. It is time to listen and serve. Ask the wondrous dragon who has come to you to tune you in to the Intergalactic Council, where you will be offered the honor of petitioning the council. Decide whether your petition is for the welfare of animals or humanity, or to assist the ascension of the planet. Then ask the dragon to take you to the council to present your petition. Dark Blue Galactic Dragons will also instruct you during meditation or sleep. This will enable you to serve in a galactic capacity and will hugely expand your energy fields. Oof. Dark Blue Galactic Dragon. Perfect. 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 All right. Asa, did I get everybody that asked in your list? I think I did. Jackie, Puffing Pixie, Pauline, J-Lo, Amanda J, Ursula, Debbie, Andy Girl. Yes. Okay. Well, perfect. That's it for me today then. I will see you all tomorrow. It's Friday tomorrow. We'll be talking about the weekend, and get ready because the weekend might be some fun. All right. We'll talk to you later.